just do your best to hold on to those good memories. All right, turn with me to Exodus chapter number 3 in your Bibles. Exodus chapter number 3. We have been studying through the book of Exodus in most of our services. And this morning, just Lord seemed to lead to continue to do that. We're going to be finding ourselves in a very familiar passage the next couple of lessons as we get into this burning bush. Now, if I say, how many of you have ever heard of the burning bush, raise your hand. That's practically everybody in this room. It's a very common Bible story. If you were raised in church or even around church, you've probably heard of the burning bush. We'll read a few verses, make a few comments, we'll pray, and we'll see what the Lord has for us concerning this topic this morning. The Bible says in chapter 3, verse 1 of Exodus, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. Now, the bush not being burned, Moses is faithfully keeping the flock of his father-in-law, where the Bible calls, the mountain of God, Horeb. And while at work, of course, he sees this bush burning with fire, but not consumed. And I know just driving there on the road, if I see a fire, I'm already intrigued. I'm just one of those guys I like to see is what's on fire over there. Is it something that's supposed to be on fire or not? And I don't know that fortunate's the word, but I've witnessed house fires and things like that. And it's just something that just catches your gaze. But those things, those fires I've seen, they consume the thing that they're burning. And it's an incredible thing to see, this burning bush that does not burn. When we were in Michigan, we worked with a man who taught our adult Sunday school hour. And he used me as a guinea pig a lot. And one of the things he used me as a guinea pig for was to show how one of the ways in which God could have burned this bush up without consuming it. And he put a handkerchief or tie or something and dipped it in a fluid, and we lit it on fire and washed it and burned, and just never burned the tie up because of what was on it. And so it's kind of neat to see that. And he wanted to use my body as an example, but that might have been my idea, maybe, I don't know. But that didn't get approved by the pastor. I don't think any of it got approved by the pastor. I don't think we were supposed to do it. But fires inside churches are usually bad, but so is water. We figured that out. And so you never can tell. But this burning bush is a story that is near and dear to many people's hearts. They understand this is the call of Moses into service. It's an incredible event in history. There's a few things we're going to look at here and some applications we're going to make. But before we do that, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and thank you for what this holiday represents. Lord, thank you for Mother's Day. Thank you for the mothers that you've given us, Lord. And Lord, I pray, please be with them today. Lord, give them a special day, and also be with those who desire that, but were never given that opportunity. Lord, be with them and comfort them in this day. And Lord, help us today now as we study your word together to glean from it exactly what you would have us to learn. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, before we continue, I want to ask a question, and it's not rhetorical. I want some answers here, and I understand it's hard to just throw out an answer right off the bat here, but I'm going to ask the question, and I'll call on a couple of people if no hands go up, so don't be too terrified. But if I were to ask you if you could be any Bible character, not God, not Christ, I'm going to lay those rules out there, if you could be any Bible character, who would you be? Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about this in your head before or not. Maybe you got an answer right off the tip of your tongue. Maybe you have no clue and you're thinking, what Bible characters do I know? And or you're thinking, is that a Bible character or a TV character? You don't want to make that mistake. Don't make that mistake right now, that you will never live that down. So, yes, you have one?
Yeah. Enoch.
Enoch. Okay. He walked with God. Yeah, that's a good one. All right, Miss Jen. Mary, that's a good one. Good. Course, for obvious reasons, most of us would know Mary. I'm assuming Mary, the mother of Jesus, not Mary, the one that was filled with devils. And yeah, either would be great. They both followed the Lord, but all right. Anybody else? Huh? Daniel. Yeah, there's some history with Daniel. Yep. Anybody else? All right. Yes. Esther. That's a good one. We'll make mention of her this morning. All right. Anybody else? How about a young person? Give me one. There's not a whole lot of you. Oh, some of them are in the nursery. So, hey, there you go. Right. Yep. Yep. The one that wipes his feet with her hair. Thinking outside the box. I like it. Yes. Yep. That lady, she's forever enshrined in the Word of God for anointing the hair or anointing the feet of Jesus with her hair. That's a good one. Good choice. All right. That's great. Nobody said David. Nobody said, you know, like the common ones you would expect, you know, you guys thought outside the box. I like it. Now, most of these people, you know, most people, when you ask that question, they pick people kind of, you know, well-known in the Bible. And of course, we had a little bit of that, and there's nothing wrong with that, of course, because they're known for a reason. David is known for a reason. Mary is known for a reason. Paul, people like that in the Bible, they're very amazing people in the Word of God. Ruth, Esther, you know, all these different people, they did amazing things for the Lord, or the Lord did amazing things through them. And there's it's good, I think, for people to idolize that. I'd much rather my kids grow up wishing they could be like Mary or be like Ruth or be like David than some idiot on TikTok or some person on YouTube. I'd much rather them idolize people in the Word of God. And I'm not one there's some people. I've been to so many youth rallies, being a youth pastor for all those years. There's some people that idolize pastors. I don't think that's healthy. I don't think that's a great thing. Don't make me your idol. You will be sorely disappointed. I've seen that happen. So be careful of that. But I don't think there's anything wrong with looking up to people that are godly and looking up to people that are a good example, and especially from the Word of God. And so you think about this. Most of us, of course, have a name. I was the kid. I wanted to be, you know, the warrior like David, faithful like Paul, the worker like Nehemiah, and the preacher like Elijah. You know, I wanted to be that mixture. I wanted to be that super Christian, which still working on it. But that was my, you know, as a young kid, especially when I was in Bible college and stuff, that was my dreams. My aspiration was I'm going to do all these great big things for God. And the Lord's like, yeah, just get through today, you know. And so we have these ideas of what we want to be. But I think the real figure in the Bible, the real person or the real thing in the Bible that God needs more of isn't necessarily the Davids or the Marys or the Elijahs or the Ruths. It's the people behind the scenes. It's the people that help those other people or the people that lead those other people in their early on in life. You think about David, he had his mighty men of valor that stood with him through thick and thin. He had them to help him. Paul had many who were considered fellow laborers and fellow helpers in the ministry. You have Nehemiah, who was stirred to action by the report of Hanani, and Elijah was stained by the widow woman of Zarephath. There's nobody in the Bible that did what they did for God alone. There's almost always some helpers or some assistants or even just somebody mentioned that brought them up. You think about even Timothy, when his mother and his grandmother are mentioned, that they taught him in the faith and they taught him the scriptures. And so I think what we need a lot more of today are just those people that are willing to be in the background and help the preachers and help the teachers and help the soul winners and help the people who have that outgoing personality that are going to do a lot for God and maybe things that you don't even want to do, but be that helper and be that person behind them. And I see when God wants to use somebody, when God wants to speak to somebody, he uses his Christians to do it. But back then, there's no Christians in the Mount of God. There's no Christians in the land of Midian. And so God uses a bush. Uses a bush. Now, I think I mentioned before, Brother Logan, who was here for our revival meeting, he preached one time years and years and years ago about this idea of a bush being used by God. And I would just ask you to consider, with the time we have remaining, will you let God use you as much as he can use a bush? I mean, that's a pretty low standard to set, I think, but I think it's something that we can all agree we should try to be as useful to God as a bush, right? We can meet that bar, right? We can try. Some of you are looking at me like, I don't know, because I don't know what you're about to say about the bush. But we're going to go for that. We're going to go for that. If it wasn't for the story of the burning bush and God's word, most people wouldn't think twice about a bush, right? I mean, bushes aren't that special. Bushes aren't that unique. There might be some bush that you're like, oh, it's this rare plant, and it's beautiful, and blah, blah, whatever. You're just weird. You know that. But bushes are generally something you don't take notice of unless there's a really big trophy buck rubbing his antlers in one and you can hear it. or there's one blocking the stop sign and you didn't see it and the cop did, or whatever. The bushes usually aren't mentioned or aren't noticed. There was, however, in 2019, the Union Theological Seminary in New York, so a Christian, I use quote air quotes here, Christian seminary in New York, they were in the news because they took their chapel service and dedicated the whole service to praying to potted plants because they wanted to beg for forgiveness for all the damage of the ecosystem that mankind had caused. And it was a deeply spiritual thing. And when they were ridiculed for it and told that it was, you know, heresy and all this stuff, they were like, it was a deeply spiritual, beautiful thing. There are some weird people out there that look at bushes as something more than just something to be in the way or be burned. But most of us wouldn't think twice about a bush except for in this story. This story makes that bush pretty famous. The difference in the bush in Exodus 3 and the bush that gave you the scratch from the thorns the other day is that God was in that bush. When God gets into something, it makes it different. It makes it special. It makes it unique. Just like with the Christian. You and I are different in many ways, but we're all human. We all have a sin nature. We all have things that drive us in our lives. We all have tendencies that we lean towards. And so in reality, we may vary a bit, and there may be some crazy outliers that are very different than others. But for the most part, picking one person out of a crowd of billions, we're kind of like bushes. We're pretty similar in many ways. All mankind, very similar in many ways. The things that drive us, the things that we do, until God comes into the mix. And God creates something in us, the Holy Spirit, he puts himself in us, and we are different now than the others in this world. We're different now since Jesus came inside. Now, go with me, or I think we're already there. Yeah, Exodus chapter number 3 and verse number 2. I want to go back. I want to look at this, the stuff, same stuff we just read, but I want to consider some applications to ourselves this morning with the time we have left. Verse 2 of Exodus 3, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed." I hope that this morning I'm talking to a whole bunch of people who have the Lord inside. I hope I'm talking to a bunch of people who are saved by the grace of God, who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and who can honestly say, yes, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, lives in my heart. I hope that that's what I'm talking to today. I hope that I see a lot of people out here today that are saved and sure of it. That would make you like this bush. God's on the inside. God's in there. And because God's in there, things are different now. John 14, 17 says, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." If you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God dwells within you. The Bible says you're the temple of God. That's an amazing thing. But in verse 3, we see, "And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt." But we see that Moses wasn't looking for a bush. There's probably plenty of them out there. He wasn't looking for God even. But God was looking for him. And so God took a bush that was in Moses' path, and he indwelt that bush, and he changed that bush so that it would catch Moses' attention because God wanted to talk to Moses. You think about that as the application to the Christian. God may want to talk to somebody today, and I am going to run into them somewhere today. And so with God in me, God can use me to get through to them, just like he used the bush to get through to Moses. You going to the grocery store today, maybe God's going to plant you in that grocery store to talk to the teller about the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe he's going to put you there to give a tract to somebody. Whatever it may be, if the Lord is in you and you'll let him use you, then you'll be just like this bush for Moses. Moses wasn't looking for God and he wasn't looking for a bush, but he found both. Because God dwelt in that bush and God got right in Moses' way and God did something in that bush that caught Moses' attention. We don't know what people are going through in our lives that we run into. We know whether or not we like them. You go to the restaurant and you have the waitress or the waiter serve you, and it's Mother's Day, so they're going to be packed and they're going to be busy and they're going to be stressed and everybody's going to go, all the wait times are going to be longer, everybody's going to be grumpy, you're with more family, so you're in bad mood anyways, and it's just... it's just going to be a mess. And so all you know is how you feel about the situation and the people you're running into. We make assumptions about people. Well, that guy's sitting at the bar. He must be a drunkard. Well, that lady's coming to me and she's only, you know, she forgot my food. She just must be a ditz. And you just make assumptions about people, but you don't know. We don't know what their spiritual condition is, whether they're saved or lost. We don't know if they're depressed or joyful. We don't know if they're going through a hard time or a good time in their life right now. But God does. And so God takes a Christian and he plants them in the way of these people so that we can be just like that burning bush and be something that they notice and something that can turn them towards God so that God can do for them what he does for Moses here, communicate with them directly. There's a lot of people in this world today that have never talked to God. They've never had a relationship with God. They don't know God. But if we'll let God put us in their way and let us point them to him, we can help them with that. Now, the bush was put in the way for Moses. You think about like Esther was mentioned earlier. Esther in Esther 4:14b, Mordecai says to Esther, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? We had a whole youth rally one year based around the idea of for such a time as this. God put Esther in that kingdom and in that palace so that she could save Israel. He put her in that place for that time, for a purpose. And I think in our lives, there's so often that God has put us in a position where we can be a witness and we can be a testimony and we can be a help and a blessing to somebody in that moment, in that time, for that purpose. It's just a matter of whether or not we understand why we're there, whether or not we notice, whether or not we take action, whether or not we are living the way that God wants us to. Now, Moses, not looking for a bush or for God, but he found both. Now, Moses turned to the bush for a reason. We saw in verse 3, Moses said, I'm going to turn aside and see why this bush is not burned. If you were walking through the woods and you saw a bush or a tree on fire and it just stayed on fire, that would make you kind of curious too. You turn over there, you want to see why is this thing not burning up and can I patent it and sell it? Because something fireproof made out of wood would be pretty impressive. Fireproof house, fireproof boat, fireproof everything else. It'd be wonderful. And so it's something that catches your attention when it behaves different than it's supposed to. What's a bush supposed to do when it meets fire? Burn up. Burn up. Even if it's wet, eventually that thing is going to burn. But it behaved differently than Moses expected it to. And I think it's, again, same thing is true and to be expected of Christians. We will behave or should behave differently than the world expects us to when we go through the fire. Because Lord knows, the fire comes. Some of you have experiences that I can't even touch with the things that you've gone through in life, the struggles you face, the hardship and the heartache and the troubles and the trials and the fires that you have gone through in your life are something that would just knock anybody out and knock anybody down and just make anybody bitter and upset and angry. But if you walk through those fires as a Christian, as a saved individual who knows that there's a God who can walk through the fire with us, then that catches people's eye. People say that person just walked through that and they did not burn up. They did not get angry. They did not get bitter. They did not complain. There's something different there. I'm going to go figure out what's different about that bush. I'm going to go figure out what's different about that Christian. I've had people in my jobs, when I've worked secular jobs, that have come to me and just said, I know you're a Christian. I've been watching you, and I just have some questions. And they don't know why you do the things you do. They don't know why you don't do the things that they think you should do. They don't understand what makes you so different. But the fact that you're different catches their attention, just like the burning bush. Now, I'm thankful that in those times, like I said, in those times of trial and the times of trouble, and when we're going through the fire, we have a God that can go through it with us. Daniel was mentioned earlier as well as one of those characters, and if you were to turn, we don't have time, but turn to Daniel 3, you would find in verse 23-25, you find the burning fiery furnace, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are tossed inside for refusing to bow down to the idol, and they're tossed into this burning fiery furnace that's so hot that the people that threw them in died for the heat of the fire, and yet they get up and start walking around, and the king says, hey, didn't we throw three in there? People are like, yeah. Three is not that hard a number to count to or to keep track of. I've got four kids now. That's more difficult. But still, not too hard. And he looks in, he says, I see four. And the fourth is like the Son of God. I'm glad we have a God that can go through the fire with us. He doesn't just put us through situations. He tests us and he tries us, but he doesn't do it and leave us alone. He's there with us through it all. And because he's there with us through it all, we can go through things and we can behave differently than the rest of the bushes in the world, because we have Jesus on the inside. We have God in our hearts, and that changes how we behave. And that change in behavior is noticeable to the world around us. That's why it's important. That's why it's important to live like a Christian, right? So that we'll look different than all the other bushes out there. Now, verse 4, if you look with me, Exodus chapter 2 and verse 4, or chapter 3, verse 4, sorry. The Bible says, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Now, as a Christian, it is a blessing to know that God is on the inside. It is a blessing to know I don't have a God somewhere that I serve. I have a God right here in my heart who will never leave me or forsake me, will never leave me alone, who I can go to in prayer at any time. He is here. He's in me. I have him and he loves me. That's a blessing. It's a blessing to know that because of that, my behavior, my way of being has changed now that I'm a born-again, saved Christian, and that change will cause others to be curious and wonder, what happened to that guy? Why is he so different? And I can use that to lead people to Jesus Christ. I can go through situations that would hurt others or that would harm others that others would react differently to, and I can go through them as a Christian by the guidance of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and because of that, I can be a testimony witness, and others can turn towards me to find out what's different about this guy, and I can point him to Christ. All those things are a blessing, and it's good to have a God that'll walk through the fire with me. But one thing that I don't want you to miss this morning is that we have a God who will also walk to you. You see, Moses here, as soon as God saw that he turned aside and started heading God's direction, the Lord immediately called out to him. And for time's sake, I'll just read them to you. But we have verses in the Bible like James chapter 4 and verse 8, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Revelation 3:20, but behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. God calls to us. God sees us. If we'll make a step in his direction, he'll make a step in ours. God is not hiding from people. God is not some mythical being out somewhere to be found. You think about the showdown on Mount Carmel when Elijah is the only prophet of God and all the 400 prophets of the Baal and prophets of the groves are out there and they're cutting themselves and screaming and crying. He's like, hey, speak up a little. Your God must be sleeping. He's mocking them, and he says one little prayer and God answers with fire, because we have a God that is real and a God that cares about us and a God that sees us and that will come towards us and come and meet us where we are. I'm thankful for that, or else I'd have never found God. And you think about this a different way. If I were to take Trey and, let's say, Brother Ken, and I were to stick them at different ends of Moraine State Park, which I've barely even been in myself, and I were to tell Brother Ken, you hide and do not let Trey find you, it'd be pretty hard for Trey to find him. He doesn't have a phone to track. He's got none of that. He's hiding in Moraine State Park, and you got to find him. That's a pretty big state park, and that's one guy. That's going to be pretty hard for him to find Brother Ken. Now, if I were to put them in the same position and tell them both, do your best to find each other, Now we're getting somewhere. Now we're calling out. Now we're making noise. Now we can find each other. Still not the easiest example with Moraine State Park there, but you get the concept. I remember with the youth group, we would play paintball and stuff, and there was always like the hunted and the hunters, you know, and the hunted were supposed to be going out there, and there were less of them, but they'd go out there and they'd hide, and they'd try to ambush the people coming out to get them. And the problem was, you're playing with teenagers. They're not the brightest. And so I would put them in places and I'd say, do not move. Do not shoot your gun. Do not do anything until they get past you. And what do they inevitably do? They get scared and they go, and they start shooting and then they get lit up. But if they'll just stay hidden, it'll be so much easier. And sometimes we would just do an all-out war and we'd both start at either side. And it's just whoever the last man standing wins. And you just, when we're trying to find each other and we're trying to call out to each other so we don't run out of time. And so I think about these things. I think about the whole idea of God looking for me. God sees me. God knows where I am. I'm glad that the moment I turn in his direction, he is right there ready to receive me. Not every religion has a God like that. Not every denomination of Christianity preaches a God like that. But we have a God who is willing to seek and to save us to the uttermost, the Bible says. If you are here today and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, all it takes is one step in his direction, and the Bible says he will come to you. The Holy Spirit, he'll send conviction, he'll send wisdom, he'll send a knowledge of his word, he'll send understanding. If you'll just turn in his direction, He is not trying to hide. He is trying to save. I'm thankful we have a God like that. As soon as Moses turned toward the bush, God calls out to Moses from the bush. God sees him and he does it. Now the job of the burning bush is essentially done. The bush keeps burning, we presume, as Moses talks to him throughout this chapter and the next in the Word of God. But the job of the bush is finished at this point as far as Exodus is concerned. But for the Christian, though, the conversation has just begun. For the Christian, when we allow God to put us in a position to be a witness and a testimony, and when that witness and testimony causes somebody to turn towards us to find out about God, now we have to open our mouths and tell them about the Lord. We have to be the one to do what God does in Exodus chapter 4. God continues, he calls out to Moses, he tells him who he is. He says, I'm the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, I'm the God of your fathers. He warns him of the spiritual danger. He says, you take off your shoes off your feet, you're standing on holy ground. God does those things in Exodus, but in today's day and age, in the church age, he asks us to do those things. We are his ambassadors with the ministry of reconciliation in our hands. We are the ones who are supposed to tell people when they come to us and they say, hey, you're a Christian, what is this whole Jesus thing? Or they say, hey, you're a Christian, what about this in the Bible? That is where we start our ministry. Every Christian is supposed to be that burning bush where we're different because God's on the inside, where we're noticeable because God's on the inside, where we point others to Christ because God's on the inside. That's just standard operating procedure. That's just automatic. People ought to know what you believe and why you believe it. That's just automatic as a Christian if we'll live the way God asks us to. But then beyond that, when somebody comes to you and says, or when you get the opportunity to open your Bible with somebody and show them who God is, now we are having a ministry that God has given us, and we are the ones who introduce them to God and say, this is who God is. God is not this painting of the long-haired hippie that you see on the wall. God is not some statue to be worshipped. God is not living inside the stomach of a cow. There's all kinds of different things that people believe out there. And you just got to weed through that and say, this is who God is right here between these two covers. This is God. This is all we need to know about God. And you can tell them about God and who he is. You can introduce them to your God. And then you can do what we're supposed to do in witnessing and warn them, hey, there is a spiritual danger. There is a holy ground when you stand before God, and you don't want to stand before God one day not justified. We need to be that burning bush so people will notice and people will ask and people will come to us and people will know that they can ask us about God. And when they do, we need to understand our job as a Christian is not just to say, well, come to my church and my pastor will tell you. Now, if you don't know the answer, that's fine. That's all right. But when somebody comes to you and they want to know about Jesus Christ, they want to know about salvation, if you've been saved more than 10 minutes, you ought to be able to tell them what happened to you and say, hey, I met God. This is who he is. This is what he's promised in his word. And I got saved partly because I didn't want to meet God as his enemy. I didn't want to meet God not prepared to stand before him in righteousness. And you can explain to him that there is a heaven, that there is a hell, and that there is a judgment. Now, Moses is, of course, the main character of all of Exodus. All of Exodus and several other books of the Bible, he's very, very prominent in. He's the one that penned down the entire Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. That's God allowed Moses to do that. And so Moses gets a lot of the attention, and rightfully so. God used him in a mighty way. But the bush is only mentioned by two people beyond this point in the Word of God. Of course, from what we see in the Word of God, we have two people in God's Word that mention the bush again. And those two people are found in Acts 7, verse 30 and 35, Stephen, before he's martyred, when he's preaching, he mentions the bush. And the only other is Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 20, he mentions the bush. And so I think it'd be just fine to live my life as a Christian in a way that is just as much as what the bush did for God. I can do that too. I can be a light. I can be a lighthouse to those that don't believe. I can be a light shining in a dark place. I can show forth my Christianity through my walk and through my talk, and I can lead others to the Lord. That I can do that. You don't have to be a pastor to do that. You don't have to be a missionary to do that. You don't have to be a Sunday school teacher or a deacon or anything special to do that. Just be a Christian. Just live as a Christian should, and you'll be a light to the world, whether you open your mouth or not even. And then And then, though, it's good to know, even if you are not the big name, you're not David, you're not Mary, you're not Ruth, that's okay. God doesn't expect the world to remember your name, and neither should you. Because there's a lot of names out there. I met some visitors this morning, and guess what? I already forgot your name. I'm sorry. I do my best. But that's why the visitor cards are so we can send you something, we can pray for it, and so I can memorize your name, because it takes me a while. But you think about, people want the world to remember their name, or they want to leave a legacy. I'd be happy if the legacy I leave is exactly the legacy of the bush. The people that remembered the bush were faithful servants of Christ with Stephen and the Lord. If nobody but the Lord remembers my name, I'll be happy come judgment day. That's all you need. Now, we know God's word says in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know that every single person in this world, they may not all need an Elijah to preach the word of God at them hard. They may not all need a warrior like David. They may not all need somebody cunning like Esther, but they all need somebody like the bush. They all need somebody to point them to Jesus Christ. Turn with me one place in your Bible and we'll be done. Romans chapter 10. We're going to look at a verse that everybody knows, or most everybody will know, and then a verse that everybody should know. Romans chapter 10. Lord, let us be as useful as a bush. Seems like a low bar to set, but boy, it is not. That bush did its job. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 13, the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Thank God for that. The Lord will, you step in the Lord's direction, He'll step in yours, He'll reveal Himself to you. Christians, we try to lead people to the Lord. You don't have to go through 52 steps. You don't have to teach them 10 different doctrines. You have to tell them, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. It's faith, it's belief, it's the grace of God. That's it. But look at the next verse. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now, don't get hung up on that word preacher, because that's how we call pastors. People call pastor preacher, and that's great. Call me preacher. That's fine. Just don't call me father. It'll make me feel weird. That's wrong. The Bible says don't do that. But that's a topic for another day. But a preacher is just somebody who proclaims the gospel. Amen. You're a preacher. If you've ever told anybody about God, you're a preacher. And God expects all of His people to be preachers, to be sharers of the gospel, to be burning bushes in their community to where people know, hey, if I want to talk to God, that's the way I'm going. Not that you're the sole representative of God, but you may be the only person in their life that they know that they can come to and ask for prayer. They can come to and ask about the Bible. They can come to and ask questions. The world is getting further and further from God, if you hadn't noticed. America especially. And so you may assume that everybody in your life has somebody else that can tell them about Jesus. I remember doing that and falling into that growing up. Somebody else will tell them about the Lord. Somebody else will witness to them. Somebody older, somebody smarter, somebody better at it. Because Lord knows, especially as a younger man, I did not have the confidence to open my Bible and say, "Thus saith the Lord." I tried, but boy, did I fall on my face many times. But there was always that thought, somebody else will do it. But we're getting to a point where America is more of a mission field than a mission agency. And your neighbors may never meet another Christian willing to talk to them about Christ. Your friends and your coworkers may not have anybody else in their life willing to show them from the Bible what they need to know. You may be the only bush in their vicinity for the rest of their life. The question is, are you going to burn brightly for God and lead others to Him? Or are you going to blend in with all the rest and hope they don't notice? Now, it sounds terrible to say that, but how often it is true in our own lives, even in the Christian's life. We know we're saved. We know God expects us to do certain things, but we say, you know what? I'm just going to go along to get along. I don't want to cause a fuss. I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to have people not like me. And we justify blending in when we're supposed to burn bright. I would encourage you today, I know it's Mother's Day, I know it's a special day, but I would encourage you to just consider this idea today. Am I as useful to God as this bush was? Am I doing my part by burning brightly for the world to see? Am I leading people to the Lord? Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. We'll end the service with this. I'm just going to ask a question. I don't want anybody looking around. If you remember the person who led you to Jesus Christ, would you raise your hand? All right. That's a lot of you. All right. That person did their job as a burning bush. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand just in case anybody's sneaking a peek. I wouldn't want anybody to be embarrassed. But if I were to ask you to raise your hand and say, okay, I've led somebody to Christ, from experience, I can say there'd be a lot less hands raised. Because that's a hard thing to do sometimes. But the Lord has called us all to be that burning bush. The Lord has given us all the ability to know His Word and to use the Holy Spirit as our guide and to pray and to get the courage that we need to reach others for Him. Somebody may be counting on you to find out where they're going to spend eternity. Somebody may be counting on you to tell them what they need to know about Jesus Christ, who He is and what He's done. Will you be as useful to God as the bush? That's the question for today. As we pray in just a moment and as we sing in just a moment, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, if you don't know really what to believe about all this, I would encourage you, maybe take the person that came with you, ask them if they'll pray with you, ask them if they'll talk to you, maybe come see me after the service, whatever you can. Don't leave here today not knowing whether or not you're saved. Let's pray, Lord. We thank you for this day. Thank you for your word and for all the things we can learn from it. Lord, thank you that you'll use inanimate objects like a bush. Lord, it gives me confidence that you can use a sinner like me. Lord, we know that we're not the most eloquent. We know that we're not the wisest. We know that we don't have all the maybe the necessary skills to be able to be orators or to be able to preach or to be able to make the right applications or say just the right things. But Lord, all you've called us to do is shine for you and to lead others and point others to you. Lord, surely we can do that. Lord, help us to do that. Help us to desire to be that bright burning bush for somebody else. Lord, I pray, please, if somebody here today is not saved, Lord, I pray, please just work on their heart. Show them their need of you. And Lord, help one of us here today be able to show them the truth of your gospel. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Ken. We're going to sing page 480.